Now, Wisconsin came under an air quality advisory last week due to smoke and ash coming down from wildfires burning in Canada. More than 85 fires are still burning in the western United States, including California's largest, the Dixie Fire. That fire has burned close to 200,000 acres. And states clear across the country on the East Coast are experiencing hazy skies and adverse air quality as a result of these wildfires. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Were you impacted by the air advisory in Wisconsin last week? Have you been following the news about the wildfires on the West Coast and in Canada? And what is your level of concern? Call now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. To explain more about the conditions that have brought about these fires and the smoke they're producing, we're joined again by Jonathan Erdman, a senior meteorologist at weather.com and a Wisconsin native. Jonathan, welcome back to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And also joining us is Jeffrey Pierce, associate professor in the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University. Jeff, welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Jeff, let's start with you. Could you tell us a little bit more about the research you do around atmospheric aerosols? It might not be a term that is known to a lot of people, but in short, you're basically a smoke expert. Am I right there?
That's right. So aerosols are particulate matter. These are the particles that float around in the air, and they come from many different sources, from cars and trucks, but they certainly come from wildfires. And that's what Wisconsin has been seeing lately. It impacts what you see. If you're close to a fire, you can smell it, and it has health impacts as well.
And Jeff, looking at the smoke situation we've been seeing here in Wisconsin and across the country, how bad is it really when we're, you know, looking at it?
It's certainly, I mean, it's becoming more normal. In these past few years, we've had these large smoke plumes that travel across the U.S. and affect people coast to coast. But, you know, historically, over the past 20 years or so, this doesn't happen every year. The concentrations that Wisconsin was getting of smoke particles and New England even are quite high, to the levels that are certainly would exacerbate health effects for people with asthma or COPD.
You know, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Dan in Appleton. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. What did you want to talk about?
You know, I'm a pulmonologist in Appleton here. I have a whole host of patients with COPD and asthma. I had one patient who was up north, so a little bit closer to the border, who states that 4 days of being up there, she could see haze in the air, and right now she is absolutely on fire. 1 week later, still wheezing, absolutely miserable. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is, this does have an impact on people, and I have a feeling we may start seeing folks a little bit further south over the next couple of weeks, provided that this blaze out west, both in Canada, Washington, Oregon, and California, keep going.
Dan, I have a follow-up question for you. As a pulmonologist, do you have any recommendations for people who might be more sensitive to this kind of air or particulate in the air as they're going about their daily business?
Yeah, no, stay inside. Stay inside, stay inside. I mean, avoidance is really the only good approach at where we stand right now. You know, short of, you know, having fancy filters and that kind of thing, just limiting exposure. You want to spend time outdoors. Best time in the summer is going to be before the morning heat and well after the sun has gone down overnight. A little bit less humidity, a little bit less heat. It's not going to change the particulate matter, however.
Dan, thank you so much for that call, and good luck with your patients as well. You know, Jeff, I want to come back to you really quickly because Dan is seeing his patients having adverse effects. Can you explain just how much particulate has to be in the air to get to the state we're in right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. Normally, the smallest increment of smoke we see where we can really detect effects, and I'll put out these units here, but I'll explain them, is 10 micrograms of particles per meter cubed of air. And for reference, Wisconsin would typically be about 5 micrograms per meter cubed in the absence of smoke. And so what Wisconsin got up to looking over the past around the 20th or so of July was around 50. So certainly much more than an enhancement of 10. And so it's very unsurprising to me that a pulmonologist would be seeing increases in the number of patients having these effects.
That is Jeffrey Pierce right now, associate professor in the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University. And I want to bring in our other guest right now, Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com. Now, John, can you tell us a little bit about the factors that are at play with these wildfires right now?
Sure. Well, it all begins actually with the most widespread Western drought that we've seen this century. So I'm looking at a map put out by the Drought Monitor. It's a weekly analysis of drought across the United States. And in the Western United States, it's hard to find any place that isn't in drought. Interesting enough, where Dr. Pierce is located in Eastern Colorado, that's one of the few areas that isn't technically in drought, but maybe a few areas in Western Washington. But the rest of the West is in drought, and in some places it's the top drought level that is analyzed, exceptional drought. So you have the drought. Then we've had a series of searing heat waves in the West, most particularly in late June, the one that produced 120-degree heat in Western Canada. And that's led to a very parched ground. And then once you get into the, we get into the early summer months before the moisture gets real deep, and you get these thunderstorms that produce lightning but don't produce a lot of rainfall. And so that's just kind of a perfect storm to ignite wildfires in the West. And once those wildfires are ignited, that smoke is then transported by the upper-level winds, and that's what we've seen right here in the upper Midwest and Wisconsin.
Now, John, you just mentioned that this is one of the most significant droughts that we've seen in years, decades, centuries. Now, the question I have is, we've been having really bad wildfires over the last few years, for sure. We had the Camp Fire, and now we have these other fires that are ranging. As a meteorologist, are we seeing patterns emerge that might make this way more common than it has been in the past?
Well, in a changing climate, the easiest thing to attribute to a changing climate are increases in heat waves and extreme heat. They become more frequent. They become longer lasting. So that's the easiest thing to attribute to climate change. After that, then you step down from that, and then you say it's a little bit trickier, but it's consistent with a changing climate that we should have large swings in precipitation, from droughts to extreme rainfall to droughts. So you put those two ingredients together, and when they coexist, when you have extreme heat and you have drought, it obviously parches the soil, it parches the vegetation, and it can certainly lead to a recipe for wildfires. Once you have, say, lightning strikes, or if unfortunately human caused events, and you throw in strong winds there, that could also be a factor. So again, the heat and the drought aspects of that are consistent with a changing climate, and those ingredients tend to mix together to lead to wildfire seasons such as we've had recently.
We're talking about wildfires and long-range smoke, what the situation is like now and what it could look like in the years to come. Our guests are Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com, and Jeffrey Pierce, associate professor in the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. I want to go to Dwayne right now in Weston. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi. I'm in Wausau, which, by the way, we've been getting hammered with big rains for the last month. But I talked to the lady that that owns the fishing camp we go to in Canada and asked how it's been. And the fires are up by Red Lake right now, which is a couple hours further north than them. And I said, how was it being up there all summer with the smoke? And some days the wind is favorable where it, you know, clears it out, and other times it's not. The lakes are super low. A lot of them, like rocks that they've never seen in years, are showing. So it's very dangerous. But we're going up a month from now, so hopefully, you know, they'll get rain, and the whole, maybe there'll be a frontal change, you know. I don't know. I hope so. But I asked them, they're not even wearing masks outside, but, you know, I feel bad for them.
Dwayne, thank you so much for that call, and safe travels when you go up there. Now, John, you know, I looked up on a map where Red Lake is, and it's pretty far west in Ontario. It's right above Minnesota. In all of this smoke, obviously there are fires happening in Canada as well. But how is it able really to get, you know, from the west coast of North America as far east as, you know, Minnesota, Ontario, all of that?
Well, these wildfires in the west, in western Canada and the northwest, you know, pump out this volume of smoke that then gets carried by the upper level winds in the atmosphere. And so, you know, I'm looking at a satellite image right now, and you can see this smoke plume just stretch from Washington, Oregon, and Northern California across, you know, Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba, and then kind of extend eastward through the Dakotas and Minnesota, and then even into parts of the Ohio Valley and Northeast. So it's just transported by the upper level winds. What I found kind of interesting about this is there's actually some fires burning near Lake Manitoba up north of Winnipeg. And those fires are actually also contributing to some of the smoke that's making its way into Wisconsin occasionally, and also into parts of the Northeast.
Now, Wisconsin was under an air quality advisory last week. It came and went. But, John, could there be any lingering smoke or ash still in the air?
Yeah, I think for the next few days, certainly that could be a concern. I mean, obviously, there's still smoke coming from those fires, and it's still being transported by the wind. That's kind of the tough part about this time of year, is that generally the winds in the upper levels, and generally, obviously, the winds in the lower levels are generally weaker in midsummer than they are in other times of year. So, you know, if you don't have rain and thunderstorms to kind of help flush some of that out of the air temporarily, you can get that smoke moved right back in. And if the upper level weather pattern is kind of stagnant, it could kind of sit for a while. So this is something we may have to ride out for at least a few more weeks, if not longer.
And John, if we can just stick with you for a second, at what point do we make the call to put in place an air quality advisory? Because sometimes it feels like sometimes it'll be up for smoke. Sometimes it's for allergens. Can you just talk about just the process that goes into that so people are aware of what they're seeing when they get those advisories?
Sure. Well, if you don't mind, I may actually ping Jeff on that.
sure. If,
All right, Jeff, what do you say?
Yeah, I don't know particularly how the Wisconsin public health departments work, but in Colorado, and I assume it's similar, they are doing their best to, they have meteorologists and air quality experts. They're doing their best to see where smoke is coming. And then they have similar flags they look for things like allergens for pollen and those sorts of things, and monitors for those things. And they make those alerts. Same for ozone. I'm not sure, maybe you don't have those alerts in Wisconsin as much as we do in Colorado, but they have trained experts that are looking for when the types of weather patterns and conditions when these things might happen. And if the caller had mentioned masks, the people in Canada wearing masks or not wearing masks, and I wanted to think of a useful information to give that since we are more familiar with masks now. If you happen to have an N95 or a KN95 and it fits you well, those masks will also protect you from smoke, or at least reduce the amount of smoke that you'll breathe in by quite a bit. The cloth masks or bandanas will not do much to reduce the amount of smoke that you breathe in. So that is another option for protecting yourself if you happen to have some of those higher efficiency rated masks.
We are talking to Jeffrey Pierce right now, associate professor in the Department of Atmospheric Science at Colorado State University, and Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com and a Wisconsin native. And we are taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. We're talking about wildfires and some of the smoke that we've seen in Wisconsin and across the country, really, from these wildfires happening on the western coast of North America. Now, Jonathan, I'm curious, with this in mind, what will you be studying moving forward from what we've seen this summer?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, we're looking for any signals that this western drought might be battened down a little bit this winter. And just to give you some perspective on that, there are parts of the West, well west of the Continental Divide, that have very distinct wet and dry seasons. You know, they have, especially in California, they spend, you know, 3, 4, 5 months out of the year getting very little precipitation at all, and then they get most of it, say, from late fall into, say, mid to late spring. So if those areas go through yet another dry winter, like parts of California have gone through the last two winters, well, that's not only you know, that's not only impactful for the drought and for water supply, but that could mean another spring in summer of completely dried out vegetation that could be a tinderbox for more wildfires. So kind of first things first here, we need to get this western drought you know, battened down a bit, hopefully this winter, and maybe go from there to having a much less active wildfire season, perhaps in 2022. But unfortunately, there are several months away from California's wet season. And with climate change, California's wet season is now arriving later in the fall than it used to. So unfortunately, we're looking at a pretty challenging wildfire season ahead all the way through the fall in the West.
And Jeff, there have been some pretty massive smoke events in Fort Collins, which I believe is where you are or nearby. What has it been like working in your field in kind of the middle of everything?
That's a great question. Yeah, and yes, I'm in Fort Collins. Last fall was fairly epic because we had smoke from a fire that was as close as about 10 kilometers from us. And in the city, we were fairly safe because the vegetation, the trees stop. But for the people who are sort of in that wildland interface, a lot of them had to be evacuated. And we had very high concentrations of smoke some mornings. And we also were getting long-range transport smoke from California. And we could tell the difference between the two because by the time the smoke arrives from California, it's lost its smell through chemical reactions in the atmosphere. But that local smoke smells like a campfire. And yeah, it gives us a lot to work with locally, and it gives us a lot of perspective on what we do.
And what have been some of your takeaways from what you have been seeing and even experiencing over the last couple of years and this summer?
One of the interesting findings we've had from some research in comparing when smoke travels a long way and exposes people, such as perhaps when people in Wisconsin are getting smoke from Canada versus when you're near the fire, is there's apparent difference in how aware people are of that they are in smoke, and perhaps the difference in how they respond. So if you have a fire nearby and you're aware that there's a fire, we hypothesize that people may be more likely to take protective actions to keep themselves from breathing in the smoke compared to when that smoke arrives after a day or two of traveling. It doesn't have its smell anymore. People might think it's fog or some other form of haze, and unless they're having really bad symptoms, they might not take protective actions.
Now, Jonathan, you mentioned this just a moment ago, that this is going to be something that people need to be paying attention to. Really quickly, we only have about, I'd say, a minute left. What can local municipalities do to prevent? They can't control the weather, but what can they do to, you know, mitigate some of these fires starting?
Well, I think, first of all, is just to be aware of the situation around you. You know, if you're in a drought, like we are here in far southern Wisconsin, you know, it's a little amazing if you're listening to us from northern Wisconsin or central Wisconsin that's been soaked recently, that there is a part of the state that's in drought, that you're very careful with your outdoor burning, and particularly outdoor burning on windy days. Those are days where you can get a fairly rapidly spreading wildfire. So, and then, you know, as mentioned earlier, just be aware of what the air quality is in your area. And if it's, if there's an air quality alert that's issued, if there's particulates in the air, or even if there's ozone in the air, you may want to exercise indoors if you can, or work out during times of day where the air quality is better, as opposed to on those days where the air quality is worse. So I think it's just largely an awareness issue. Just be aware of the weather surrounding you. If it's a hot, dry, windy day, it's probably not a good day to do any outdoor burning with that.
Jonathan, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us today. And Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Jonathan Erdman is a senior meteorologist with weather.com. And Jeffrey Pierce is from Colorado State University. And they both joined us today to talk about the wildfires raging on the West Coast and how the smoke has traveled from the West Coast to other parts of the country.